the arrival of Henry Cisneros, the former Secretary of Housing in the Clinton administration. We're reshuffling the order of our program on the theme of houses to welcome Sue Rosen into the bosom of the family. And let me set this up as follows. Is it or isn't it Australia's oldest standing house? Experiment Farm Cottage is a congenial name, is a bungalow set in the Sydney suburb of Parramatta. It was built by Surgeon John Harris as a residence for his family, and on that everyone apparently agrees. What's in dispute, and has been for 30 years, is when the house was built. In 1795, as many an historian attests, or in 1835, as the National Trust insists. Does it really matter, and why? Sue is an historian, author of a book on the subject, and is coming tonight to try and answer some of these questions and some other questions I might think up as we progress. Sue, welcome to our little tiny wireless program.
Thank you very much, Philip.
Now, John Harris was a bit of a wag, wasn't he? Because he was a sailor, surgeon, soldier, farmer, builder, trader, philanderer, chief of police, and at one stage even a government spy.
Yes, and he was also an explorer. He travelled, was one of the first people to go up the Hunter Valley, Hunter River with Patterson, and managed to wander all the way out to the Warren Bungles with Oxley.
He might have gone right past where I live.
Probably.
How exciting. Yeah. So what's his story? He's from Northern Ireland, yeah?
Yes, he's from Northern Ireland, and joined the military, I think, probably as a 14 or 15-year-old boy. Spent 10 years in India, Bengal, and eventually joined the 2nd Fleet, joined the New South Wales Corps, and came to New South Wales in 1790 as a young man, yes.
Yeah, there's so many things he did in his life. One of the most astonishing is he chose to become a Navy surgeon, and that was a horrifically unpleasant job in those days, wasn't it?
I think
hacking off limbs.
Yes. I think he probably did that because his father had died, and it was a good way to get medical training. I don't believe some people say that he went to the Edinburgh University, but they've never ever heard of him. There's no record of him being there. So my guess is that he sought his training through the military.
Because before email and the net, you could get away with claiming the odd qualification you don't have, couldn't you?
I think Harris was qualified. He's been credited with doing the first resuscitation from drowning in Australia, and did some very difficult amputations in the early days, which people survived, which, you know, wasn't always the case.
So either he was very creative and audacious, or he was thoroughly grounded. Of course, you make the point that there was a class difference between surgeons. There were those that treated external physical symptoms and without ever touching the patient.
Yes.
And blokes like him that got stuck into them with a saw.
Well, that's right. And I think being a surgeon would have suited Harris because in many ways he was quite rough and tough. In his duties as a police officer, or magistrate of the police, he chased and brought down criminals. But there was a class difference, and there was even issues about him, I think, originally being able to be in the magistracy because he wasn't a gentleman like the other officers were. And in the Corps, there was a lot of social consciousness.
And so if he was playing cricket, he'd have to go through not the gate saying gentlemen, but the gate saying others.
Yeah, probably.
Players, I think they used to say. Okay, now let's get back to India because this is an important part of the story.
Yeah.
He lived in Bengal, which is where the term bungalow comes from. And at this stage, I think it's important for you to describe your typical Bengali bungalow.
Okay. Well, a bungalow was often built on a raised platform. It had an integrated roof and that extended over a veranda, and the veranda was often a place for both living and working in, and the British adapted it for that purpose.
It would make it therefore reasonably appropriate for Australia.
Yes, exactly. Many of the officers of the New South Wales Corps had travelled internationally, and others had been in India, but as well as Harris, but they'd been in the West Indies and been in North America. And I think Harris came here, hot climate, great position overlooking the river there at Parramatta.
So he builds, in effect, a Bengali bungalow.
Yes. Well, I think with certain English sensibilities, fan light over the door, side lights, yeah.
The book, your splendid effort here, has drawings of doctors' houses from Bengal in the 1790s,
yes.
And they're strikingly similar to Experiment Farm Cottage. Why Experiment Farm Cottage?
Well, the name Experiment Farm actually comes from the first land grant that Philip ever gave. This is the first piece of land that was ever alienated from the Crown in Australia, and that was the land grant given to James Roos, who drew the... and it was called Experiment Farm because they wanted to see how much land was necessary for a man to support himself and his family. And Harris bought it from Roos.
Now, I'm very fond of the National Trust. They do a pretty good job, and they've been awfully sweet to me.
Yes.
But let's go to the dispute. It's just between you and I. I don't want my people listening to this because it gets a bit nasty. The National Trust first acquired Experiment Farm as a wonderful example of early colonial architecture back in 1961. And at that time, it was thought that the house had been built in 1798. Why did the Trust change its collective mind?
Well, what happened was that in 1975, Rachel Roxburgh, who was one of the champions behind purchasing the house, found a letter from Elizabeth MacArthur that referred to a new house on the Harris property.
And the new so-called new cottage of Dr. Harris.
Yes, that's right. And that threw, even though it didn't name Experiment Farm Cottage, it threw doubt over what had been regarded as an orthodoxy, a certainty. Then, in the early 1980s, architect David Sheedy, who was the Trust's honorary architect, he was asked to prepare a conservation plan for the house. And in his research, he found new material that said to him, or that convinced him, that it was, in fact, a 1790s house. And he presented that to the Trust, and somehow there'd been a shift, a change in those intervening years, because the news that it was a 1790s house then was greeted with a bit of horror, and it wasn't accepted. His report has never been endorsed by the Trust, and he was asked to do additional research, and he found more supporting material. They had expert panels called, and at different times they concluded that, oh, it might have been 1821, and sometimes they thought it could be 1814 and it could be 1804. But then everything went quiet at the end of the 80s. They had their financial crisis, the Lindsay debacle. And then it emerges in the 1990s that the house is, and it is still being presented, as an 1835 gentleman's residence without really that issue ever being resolved.
What the doubt overlooked that there was a new cottage built by Harris across the river on the estate of none other than Dr. Samuel Marsden.
No, that wasn't built by Harris. The letter from Elizabeth MacArthur said, "Police Magistrate Campbell and his family, our near neighbours, are living in the new house on the Harris estate." Well, in doing the research, and that's what's so important about looking at the context and the meaning of the document. And I ended up researching who Campbell was, his position as police magistrate, and what I found was that Campbell had indeed built a new house. He was so proud of it that he got Comrade Martins to paint it.
Ah, right.
And he had bought the land from Reverend Samuel Marsden, and it was across the river.
It's interesting that some people involved in this story take one position and then later another. I'm thinking of the not inconsiderable architect, Mr. Cox.
Yes. Originally, Philip Cox, I think, was sceptical of David Sheedy's findings, but later on he wrote an article, I think, in the Sydney Morning Herald, where he said that he felt that David was amassing sufficient evidence that to give Experiment Farm Cottage, you know, the most likely candidate for the claim for being the oldest house.
You've described criticising the National Trust as a bit like attacking motherhood
yes.
and apple pie. But you felt you had to do it.
Well, it's really...
You'll never get classified now, young lady.
No, that's right. Look, it's I think the National Trust is an incredibly important organisation. The issue here is the evidence and the treatment of evidence. That they, when David Sheedy presented his findings, that they didn't commission a historian, a serious, academically trained historian, to investigate this. I spent to do this 9 months in various archives and worked, and I think I've worked it out. I think I've solved the dilemma. That could have been done in the 1980s, and it wasn't.
Why did it become such an intractable issue? What's the politics of this? I understand that the women's committees, who were such energetic fundraisers for the Trust, felt themselves sort of sidelined, while a new curatorial bunch came in and became dominant.
Well, in the book, Australia's Oldest House, I have a chapter there looking at the politics and the history of the Women's Committee, and I think that there was a... My sense of it is that there was a change of a moving to professional staff and management happening at the Trust across that time. And it was the Women's Committee who'd largely raised funds for the house, and that was their friends and associates who had helped furnish the house.
And they're shown the front door.
Yeah. I don't think that there was enough credit, or the women in the Women's Committee felt that what was now expected of them, that they should just raise funds and the professionals should decide how it should be spent. And they were unhappy about that. And they were querying and asking awkward questions the whole time about, well, what was the evidence for the 1835 dating? They couldn't get a satisfactory answer. They were highly critical, because the evidence for the 1835 dating is very scant. And it's a real pity that it wasn't investigated earlier.
You know, the odd thing is that the National Trust would turn its back on this extraordinary story. The older the better. It's not only, if not the oldest, it's a bloody old house built by a totally fascinating fella.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
By, you know, they must. Some of them must be tempted to recalibrate its age, because it would make it even more interesting tourist.
Well, that's my thoughts. I only became involved in this in the early 1990s when Caroline Simpson commissioned me to investigate and look at the evidence for both sides. And then that brought me to the question, well, why aren't they overjoyed at the possibility that this could be an intact house, almost.
We can resolve this matter if we talk directly, of course, to the bloke that built it. And yes. We will organise a seance. Would you come back when you can do a seance?
Yes, that'd be great.
Is this a legitimate method of research,
well,
as far as you're concerned?
No, not necessarily. No.
But we can sort of fake it.
No,
don't
faking.
Want to do that. Let's go back on the bloke, because I touched on some of the things that he did or is alleged to have done. Government spy?
Yes, because of the... when King came, he was desperately trying to control the trade in spirits. And at times, Harris, he had been made police and port officer and spent a lot of time chasing stills and illegal importation of rum, etc.
Okay, well, that's an interesting thing to do. What about researching his philandering? How did you do
It wasn't easy, but there's definitely... he certainly had a couple of mistresses and had children with them that are recorded in the Parramatta birth registries, baptismal books.
Doesn't sound so much like philandering as energetic.
Yes, well, he was energetic.
Yeah. But
he got married. He went back to England to be a witness in the trials after the Bligh Rebellion, and came. And he returned with a wife then. And nothing really has ever been heard of his descendants from those relationships since. So,
okay. Well, you and I will meet again when we organise the seance to settle this matter once and for all. I wonder if the National Trust has a paranormal division that could help us set this up. Look, thank you very much for this. The book's really beautiful. Sue Rosen, historian and author of a book called Australia's Oldest House, John Harris and Experiment Farm Cottage. Surgeon John Harris and Experiment Farm Cottage. It is lusciously illustrated, nicely written, and a bloody good read. Sue, thanks for that.
Thank you.
And this is LNL on ABC Radio National, etc. And after we play a bit of music, I'm going to be talking to Henry Cisneros on urban housing.